It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host Mark Young. And Nancy Pelosi is a moderate now, apparently.
She's a racist.
Isn't that interesting? And now this Lucy, what's her name, from Missouri, came out and said, well, that's when you just have no argument. You call people a racist. And she's a Democrat from Missouri. And so I thought, well, good Lord. You know, all you do, you people call Trump a racist, me a racist, you a racist, and everything else. So it just proves that you have no argument.
No, I mean, so here's the thing that really grabs me on this, Chuck, and that is there was a tweet that came out by Ocasio-Cortez where she said, I haven't dialed for dollars once, so I have more time to do my job.
Yeah.
Now, you and I both know, when you get elected to Congress,
you live in that little cubicle and call people and beg for money.
That's right. You sit in the basement 70% of your day begging for money, and the amount of money you beg for determines what seats you get and how your reelection goes.
That's right. That's why Nancy Pelosi's so high up, because she raises so much money for the Democratic Party.
So, and that's the reason she gets the seat, because she makes the most money for the party.
Exactly. Because we know how brilliant she is.
So Nancy has acquiesced all along here to these women.
She what?
She has acquiesced to these four women. And they're, you know, these four freshmen congresspeople.
You mean the new freshman women of color?
Yes. The four of them.
It's hysterical.
And she hasn't made them dial for dollars, and she's let them go on and make
Is that true? Plans. She hasn't?
No.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. This is, to me, I'm not a defender of Nancy Pelosi by any means. I think she's flat out evil. But Nancy Pelosi knows more about politics, has forgotten more about politics than these four together have known. Mm-hmm. They've come out against her. They've attacked her openly. Nancy Pelosi is not going to let that go undealt with.
Well, the most telling thing was like the Hillary question. And that was the other day. I'm a Stossel or somebody asked her, said, what are you going to do with this progressive wing of your party? She said, what? I'm progressive.
Yeah. Well,
so here's my deal. Here's what I think. Ocasio and Tlaib and all these other people, Omar, they are flat out telling you what they want to do. And Nancy Pelosi knows that that is absolutely politically, that's political suicide.
Right, because Pelosi's smarter than that.
What you want to do, you get elected, and then you just do what you want to do. And then you explain it in some kind of save the children, you know, narrative, and everybody goes, oh, okay, all the Republicans nod, you know, and say, fine. I give you, for instance, with this citizenship thing. Now, I understand that Obama took this off. It's been on the citizenship deal for 170 years. It's been around forever. So they took it off, and the Republicans said nothing, absolutely nothing. They never heard a peep out of them. They snored through the whole thing. The minute the Trump tries to put it back on, then the Democrat Party just coalesce, and over the smallest thing, whatever it is, it's so stupid. It's like voter ID. They've got no, you know, they've got no reasonable argument against it, but they'll go to the mat for you.
Do you know what some of the other questions on the census are?
No.
You can't ask somebody if they're a legal citizen or an American citizen, right?
Well, not really. I guess you could at one time, you know.
Like, oh, yeah, it was there forever.
Yeah.
But here's the other questions. How many toilets do you have?
Right. Yeah.
How many desks do you have in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a computer? Do you own a tablet? How many cell phones do you use? Right. What is the roof on your house made out of?
Are you a citizen?
No, you can't ask that. No. But you can ask me how many toilets I have. Do I have a desk? And what is the roof of my house made out of?
And what some guy say the other day, they reprimanded him or he lost his job or something because he wouldn't call a 6-foot man with a beard a woman. What is going on here? I mean, we really live in an alternative universe. It's just, it amazes me what people will seemingly accept. And yet it comes from the left-wing media. So God only knows, because you know, nobody tells the truth there anymore. And
I want to come back around to Pelosi for a minute.
Yeah, I've got other things to say about her. Go ahead.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think these four women, especially AOC, re-election time's coming up.
She can primary all of them.
I think Nancy Pelosi will cut them off at the knees from DNC funds.
Yeah, sure.
And she will quietly back.
Well, that won't be candidates. Quiet. They'll scream about that.
But she's going to back candidates to replace these people. This is not going to go unresponded.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me is that the only difference between her and Tlaib and Ocasio and all of these other people, Omar, is that she does it quietly. They want to do it loudly. It's the same thing.
But she's more experienced.
Well, politically, she certainly is more experienced, because she knows how she can lie to the American people and get away with it. They want to tell them the truth, and she doesn't want them to tell us the truth.
Yeah, the sad thing is AOC will get bumped out of office, and she'll end up with a multi-million dollar contract on The View.
The View, something like that, right?
Oh, couldn't you see her on The View?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Next, what's her name, that lunatic Behar? And I mean, good Lord.
I know, Whoopi Goldberg.
But so I wonder how Pelosi, I tweeted that to Pelosi. How does it feel now that you're the racist?
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you've lost your argument and they call you a racist. Exactly. So there's another thing.
The word over, is it, you've been asking, when is the word going to jump the shark? Did that jump the shark? Did that make it over?
No, nothing jumps the sharks with Democrats. Nothing that I'm aware of.
But in the public mind, though, in the eye of the public, did calling Nancy Pelosi a racist eliminate the value of the word? Does that now make the word useless?
I don't know. I mean, it just, I would love for that to be true, but I'm just not sure that it is, because they'll still use it. They you can't shame them. They can't be shamed, period. So I just don't know. You know, Pelosi's done another thing. There's a couple of things I want to get into. One is Pelosi's remarks to the nation as the third person in line for the presidency and the House leader. She just went on television and informed every one of the illegals who have been adjudicated to be removed from our soil because they lost their case. She told them how to avoid ICE.
Correct.
And that is, she told them that, so it's okay to break a law. I mean, what is, did the American people really want to stand for this crap? I mean, give me a break.
Just so everybody understands, these raids that ICE is talking about,
they've already been to court and lost.
These are people that have been here for years. They've already had their day in court. Their asylum claims were found to be without merit.
They ignored what the court said, stayed here.
They've been ordered to leave the country. They are still here. This is not a bunch of jackboot thugs breaking up. And you notice when you look at the tweets from these people, ICE is out to destroy immigrant families. No, these are not immigrant families. These are illegal aliens who have had their day in court and been ordered out. So when you look at this, when the Democrats say, we want people to be able to, it is legal for people to have an asylum claim and they deserve their day in court. Well, but then they're telling you, right, but they're telling you, even if they get their day in court, we don't care because we don't care what the law says.
I wonder if they feel the same way about taxpayers.
Ooh, good question.
Well, I mean, that's a parallel. It's a law. There, you can break the law and just say, "Well, I'm not going to pay my taxes." Well, you don't have to. It's okay because you don't have to.
Have to follow the law. Democrats right now want to let out 50% of all people in prison.
That's 50% of felons, right?
Yeah, 50%. That's one of the new platforms. We're just going to randomly go through and do an eeny, meeny, miny, mo process, and let half of them out. What could possibly go wrong?
What constituency would this be after?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, me either. I can't either. Well, you can figure it out for yourself, folks.
Because if we pointed it out, we would be a racist.
Exactly. Everything's racist. Everything. It's just, you know, and then they blame us. They project on us that we're trying to, and Trump is trying to divide the country while they weren't around slicing and dicing everybody. But we're really dividing the country. It is so bizarre and so frustrating because they have the mainstream media to support them, and they just say anything they want to and do anything they want to, except Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein,
man, the tip of the iceberg is just out on this one. I mean, they've been trying to transfer all this stuff on Trump, and they don't have a leg. They don't have a peg leg to stand on, much less a leg. And interesting, he had a coming out party when he left, if you want to call it prison, in Florida. He came to New York and had a coming out party. Do you know who attended that party?
Tell us who attended that party.
Well, Jack. Prince Andrew.
Yes.
Attended the party. And since Prince Andrew attended the party, the media attended the party. The media consisting of Katie Couric, mm-hmm. George Stephanopoulos,
mm-hmm.
Charlie Rose, mm-hmm. just to name some luminaries on the left.
Guess who else was hanging out with Epstein?
I don't know.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Well, the reason I see that coming is he's a billionaire, and Hollywood will lick the boots of anybody who has money in order to get funding.
But Kevin Spacey's got, what, 15 charges against him for molesting minor boys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is.
These are some sick people.
Well, it's just amazing how they're trying to, you know, translate this or project this onto Trump. I mean, it's just amazing when Trump actually got rid of this guy for making untoward advances toward a underage girl who worked for him.
So
in his club, Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, Trump banned him because he hit on a teenage girl.
Right.
Which I'm thrilled about that. I am so happy. Yeah. That the president identified that teenage girls need to be protected from predators and threw this bum out.
Mm-hmm.
Notice you don't see anyone in the press say that other than maybe Fox News or places like here.
Right. That's it. It's the, you know, Fox News and then, you know, independent people like us who are out here, you know, spreading the news.
But you won't hear CNN say the president threw Jeffrey Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club for hitting on a 15-year-old. You won't see that on CNN.
Oh, by the way, guess who else had a real interesting contact with Epstein?
Who else?
Donnie Deutsch.
Oh, that's no shock. He's well, a scumbag. He's a dirtbag. He's from my industry, too. You know, he's out of my world.
I know he is. I know. That's why I mentioned him. He's such an outspoken liberal.
Who lives in Trump Tower?
Does he have a place in Trump Tower?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if he's got it wired.
He's got an apartment in Trump Tower that he pays $40,000 a month in rent for.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious. Him and this Trump were best buddies.
There's a place in Trump Tower?
Yes. He's been there for years.
Now, isn't that interesting?
$40,000 a month in rent he pays for it. He and Trump were great friends until Trump ran for president.
Yeah, I guess a lot of
Donnie people. Deutsch was the ad guy who was on The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guests on the regular guest on The Apprentice to look at the team's advertising work.
Boy, when your friends turn on you, it's number one, they're never friends. Obviously, they wouldn't turn on you. But it's really interesting to see these people just drag the crap they drag behind them when you become successful in an area that they disagree with. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
You've been down that road. You've had friends turn on you.
I know, but it's not as people don't care about me. I mean,
I know, but you had the, I remember when that happened though. And you said to me, you know what? If people don't know who I am and they turn on me, then I just don't need them in my life.
No, that's right. I mean, you just
close that door.
Yeah. Well, I have a interesting way of compartmentalizing things and just moving on.
So Bill Clinton, sticking with Epstein here, Bill Clinton issued a press release saying, his statement said, I don't know nothing about those terrible crimes Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty to in Florida.
I thought Ted Stripper Pole just held a plane together.
Exactly. It was just for support.
Yeah, I thought it was like an architectural design piece.
And he went on to say that I took 4 trips on Epstein's airplane.
Now, why would he do this? He knows good and well that it's all, you know, the FAA records and everything else. They got him dead to rights.
And he said, I visited Epstein's apartment just one time. Mm-hmm. Now, the FAA logbooks for the Lolita Express shows that he was on the plane 27 times to Orgy Island.
So why would you make a denial like that when you, I mean, this is how confident people in power are.
Because they know they own the press.
Exactly. They own the press. So they can get away with anything they want to say and people just poo-poo it.
Because they know the only people they have to deal with is Fox, us, Rush, Bongino, you know, Levin. These are the only people they have to deal with. And they figure that we're talking to a bubble, that we're talking to the choir, and the rest of the world will they'll believe I was only on the plane 4 times and I didn't say anything about it. Now, the flight logs show.
Well, Hillary was on it too, wasn't she? I mean,
6 times to Orgy Island. And that's just a visual that I just can't get out of my head.
Right.
But at any rate, the flight logs also show that underage girls were on the plane when the president was on there, including the 5 times he ditched his Secret Service.
And interestingly enough, they only use their first names.
But you're on a 727. That's a big airplane, but you can see anybody in there. Now, if you're in there and there's a big round bed and there's a bunch of 14-year-old girls on the orgy bed, what's the chances you don't see it? You never notice. I've never seen any of these girls. I mean, really?
Look, you know, we know how absurd all of this is. I mean, it's like everything that comes out of Washington is absurd these days. Everything. And New York and Los Angeles. I mean, they're just absurd. It loses its flavor of a word when you start describing what really happened, what went on. And then people say, well, you don't know. You weren't there. Yeah, well, there are logs now, aren't there?
Now, it gets even better. The Clinton Foundation claims that Jeffrey Epstein lent his plane to Bill Clinton and others to perform work for the Clinton Foundation in September 2002.
How many times can they fall back on the Clinton Foundation? I mean, how many times can they use that as an excuse?
Well, I'm going to tell you why they can't. Because they claim that he lent them the plane to use it for charity work overseas, right?
Yeah.
Except here's the problem. During that time period, in 2002, the Clinton Foundation was not federally chartered or authorized to do foreign work. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton was not an officer of the Clinton Foundation at that point. And if you check the charity's 990s, the 990s that they have to file, because this would be called an in-kind donation, mm-hmm. there's no record of Epstein ever donating the plane to the charity.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying it's a lie?
And there's no FAA log of the plane being used for charity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this thing with Epstein, I mean, we'll get back to other things in a minute, but he is the hot property right now. I mean, everybody in New York all of a sudden doesn't know him. But the thing with him, do you know how he made his money?
No one knows how he made his money.
That's interesting.
People are speculating it was when he ran a investment fund. But investigators all over the place are struggling to really find out how this guy got so rich. Mm-hmm. It's really a mystery.
Well, it's going to be investigated. It's going to be done. He'll probably spend the rest of his life in prison, more than likely, and deservedly so. There are going to be a lot of politicians connected to him who will be in a world of denial, because that's where he operated, because that's where you get all the favors done for you, is you pay a politician off and they'll do anything for you. I mean, Chuck Schumer had, what, $22,000 donated to him, and he finally was shamed into giving it to, charity. He's going to give it back to this charity for transporting women illegally or something like that. I mean, it's, you know, that's just the opening salvo. Everybody's now going to try to
repent. Oh, yeah, this is coming.
They'll either deny or repent, one of the two.
And now, let me finish.
We know they never really repent.
Of course not. And I'm going to finish something here on Clinton Foundation. When we started on that, mm-hmm. I was talking about Clinton's 990s. The Clinton Foundation has never filed.
What an incredible fraud this thing is.
But check this out. The Clinton Foundation has never filed an accurate annual report to any government authority, period. It did not file 990s for the short period from the 23rd of October 97 through December 97. No subsequent reports use any proper legal name of the entity, which is actually the William J. Clinton Presidential Foundation through 2005. And no report contains any valid information or financial audit consistent with U.S. accounting standards. In fact, such audits are missing.
But they want to see missing. Trump's tax. They want to see Trump's tax return.
Right. But these audits are actually missing for the year 98 through 2004. Mm-hmm. There are more defects, but the IRS investigated this situation. Well, this
was during the Obama administration.
It was investigated by, wait for it, Lois Lerner.
Of course, and no problem there.
And she found no problem there.
Oh, no, of course not. And this is one of the reasons why all of these people who are so wealthy and so well-connected can get away with anything. Because they're so wealthy and so well-connected, they can get away with anything.
Lois Lerner. Now, Lois Lerner is the same person responsible for stopping anybody with the name Patriot or Tea Party in their name from being able to get a 501c3 tax exempt status.
Yeah, this is the woman who opened up with a statement and then pled the fifth, which I don't think you're allowed to do. But
well, you could do it as long as you are defending yourself. Remember, hey, listen, that is
you want to hear somebody
self-incrimination.
You want to hear somebody plead the fifth? Wait till Comey gets on the stand. And then you can count how many times, take a drink every time he says, I plead the fifth. Or I can't talk about it because it's an ongoing investigation. I mean, give me a break. Hey, listen, we have a great sponsor in Blue Emu, so we're going to take a little break and hear from them right now. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. This episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Pain Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for many years now, and I'm not slowing down, but I can use a little help every now and then. Blue Emu's family of products are made in America and have become a staple in my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain and the lidocaine cream for numbing pain relief. Not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. Blue Emu, it works fast and you won't stink. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
Now, you know our esteemed congressperson from Detroit, right where we're located here.
Yeah, Tlaib.
Rashid, yes.
Rashid, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did by any chance you catch her scolding and questioning Fed Chairman Powell?
No, I did not.
Okay, I got to walk you through this. I was embarrassed for her.
How could you possibly be embarrassed for her?
You know, I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, I get it. You're a moron. I understand. And by the way, Congress is filled with freaking morons, Chuck. Yeah, these are not smart people.
Someone said, if it walks like a moron, if it talks like a moron, chances are it's a moron. I think it was,
so. First off, I want people to understand, because someone is elected to Congress does not mean they are smarter than you.
Boy, they're no kidding.
It means they are more power hungry than you.
Right.
But I know many of these people, and some of them are good people, and some of them are blithering idiots. Mm-hmm. She falls into the blithering idiot category.
Well, she and AOC are compadres.
So she's, I mean, fist stomping, you know, really letting Powell have it. Here's the comment.
With expletives flying out of her mouth, I'm sure, because that's how she talks, which is very interesting how civil these people are.
So here's the way this person
happened to my esteemed friend from.
Yes. Well, I'd like to welcome and honor the esteemed, honorable man from the beautiful state of, yeah, all that stuff. I say, boy. But anyways. Boy,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, the dignity, the fake dignity of Congress is gone.
Well, it's about time.
It was a lot more fun when we had the fake dignity, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, at least we knew it was fake.
I defer to my honorable friend.
So, well, I vehemently disagree with.
Yes, I politely disagree. But anyways, she's looking at him and she's saying, the Federal Reserve backstops the federal government when the federal government runs a deficit. And the Federal Reserve provides the funding to support those deficits. Tell me why the Federal Reserve doesn't do this for states and cities and municipalities.
Because it's called federal government. That's why. Idiot.
And I'm watching this and I'm looking at Paul's face. And you look at his face and he's like, you can see in his face, this is the dumbest question anyone's ever asked me. How do I answer this? Without making her look like a complete moron.
You should make her look like a complete moron that she is for asking that question. That's my answer.
So just explain it to folks.
Well, it was like Maxine Waters talking about, what was she talking about? That
That was the student loans.
Yes, right. The banks just couldn't make any student loans. And somebody corrected her and said, for 6 years, the banks haven't done this. It's federal government.
Yes. Tell me, Mr. Diamond, how many student loans did you make last year?
Madam, we stopped doing student loans in 2007.
Just for your information, since you're ahead of the Ways and Means Committee.
Yeah, she's ahead of banking.
No, it's crazy.
And yes, Madam Chair, the federal government took over student loans 7 years ago. We haven't made a student loan.
It's like a pie, and it's literally like Stoopy sales and a pie in your face.
So, folks, so you understand the reason.
You have to be old to even know who Soupy Sales is.
Yeah, well, he's from Detroit, you know. He was from here.
Oh, he's from West Virginia.
But, I mean, his TV career started here. Mm-hmm. So, at any rate, the Federal Reserve can backstop the federal government because they can print money.
Yes,
states and cities can't print money.
Well, they try sometimes, but it doesn't work out well.
I'm waiting for New York to come out with their own currency.
Right.
But that's why, I mean, and what hits me is, I get it that you're an idiot, but is everyone on your staff an idiot? Mm-hmm. Can't they hire someone that actually understands the law?
You know, these people are so emotional and factually, you know, vacuous, that it doesn't matter to them. They just have a knee-jerk reaction. It's kind of like the news. The news is really interesting today. I thought about this for about a second and a half. If you read the headlines...
You put a lot of time into this, didn't you?
Yeah, right. When you read the headlines in the news today, it is such an emotional knee-jerk reaction to the headline. Then you get down into the story, the context of the story, and it has nothing to do with the headline.
Because it's all clickbait.
Yeah.
But this isn't clickbait. This is legit. This is her asking this question. And
anybody ever call her out on it besides us?
No. I doubt it. Now, and here's the other thing I want to point out to people. This is the reason. What we're talking about here is the reason the European Union has been collapsing and having the problem they're having. Because when all those countries, all those sovereign countries decided to operate under a single currency, the euro, they no longer had the ability to print their own money.
Right.
So Greece couldn't print more money to cover debt, or Spain can't, and Italy. So that's why they have a problem. That's what's actually saved the UK. The UK owes a debt of gratitude to Margaret Thatcher for keeping them out of the euro.
Man, they don't think so. I mean, Margaret Thatcher was pillared.
I know, but think about it, though. But the people want out of the EU, too, though. They want Brexit, even though their government refuses to honor the vote of the people.
It's kind of like us.
Very much so. Very much so.
Certain things in common.
You know, Chuck, I was thinking of something, and that is, I gave this a second and a half, like you do. if you met, let's say that you went to your wife and you said, honey, I love you, but I want you to change every last thing about you. Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to change everything.
Funny Valentine, would it?
I want you to change every last thing about you. Mm-hmm. I love you, but I want you to change every last thing about you. Because I find you to be distasteful. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're this. You're that. How long would that relationship last?
About a minute. Just long enough to hear the door slam.
What is a Democrat? A Democrat is somebody who says, well, I love my country, but I hate everything about it.
You know, it's an interesting time that we live in. This kind of started in the 60s, where this outcry about America being a bad place, all that kind of stuff. And these people are now in our government, who were college students back then. But, here's Trump talking about America and talking about the promise of America and making America great again, keeping America great. And there is such an incredible pushback from the left. And I'm not sure that the average American feels like America is such a bad place. They want you to feel that way, and they will, you know, spew all of this stuff from history and whatever history they want to completely, distort. And it's just amazing to me how they can make you feel bad about the country that you live in that everybody else in the world wants to get to, which is fascinating too. I mean, it's so hyperbolic today. And it's everywhere. It used to just be on college campuses. And I mean, I was listening to Biden saying that we believe in freedom of speech. We believe in freedom of speech. Apparently, Biden hasn't spent any time on a college campus lately where they don't believe in freedom of speech anymore, or in a lot of other places like tech and places like that.
Or Congress.
I mean, it's incredible how they're trying to take us down this path of self-destruction. I mean, it's really what it amounts to. And, as Americans, we've got to do something about this. We really do.
Well, my argument is that if you tell somebody you love them and I want to change every last thing about you, you don't love them.
No, of course not. No.
And that's my point. When you hear these people say, whoa, we're patriots, we love America, I'm telling you right now that the feelings and the emotion that are love cannot exist in the same mind when everything about that same entity that you claim you love, you hate.
Well, if you
can't have that, these people do not love America.
If you look at this soccer team, this girl in the soccer team who is, you know, basically desecrated the anthem, the trying to be a Kaepernick, I guess. And the applause and adulation that she gets for saying this, you're going to keep saying it.
Yeah, but, you know,
they're in New York, and she said the most I cannot repeat what she said for our audience. I really can. You'll have to
write
it yourself. But, I mean, it's just amazing what they get away with and then applauded for it, which encourages even more that kind of, you know, France really loves, they love their people. They love them so much that if you get on a plane today and leave France and go to Italy, or if you want to go to England, or any place else, it's going to cost you about $25 just to leave. And you know where that $25 goes?
Where?
Well, it's an environmental tax. They're going to save the environment with $25 from everybody who leaves the confines of France. Now, you can fly back and forth in France anywhere you want, but just a minute you cross that border, $25.
Well, they take those 25 euros and they throw it up into the air to plug the hole in the ozone.
I mean, gee, many crap.
And then what happens is the government throws it into the air. Whatever the atmosphere keeps it needed and whatever falls down, the government keeps.
It's beyond silly. It really is. It's just beyond silly. And
now you see, by the way, that the viewership of the soccer games after this woman went all crazy, the last soccer game viewership went down significantly.
Well, of course it will. Americans won't stand for that.
And Chuck Schumer and what's that other, that complete empty soup, de Blasio,
mm-hmm.
are demanding equal pay for equal work.
So here's the deal, and you know this as well as I do. The men's soccer team gets paid a lot more. But
correct.
Their attendance is a lot more, so they bring in a lot more money. So as an owner, you want fans, you want to bring people in, and they let these women say anything they want to say, obviously, that's anti-American, and then expect Americans to show up and applaud them. When in fact, it's too bad, quite frankly, that we have this outstanding team of women who have won the World Soccer Championship, and we as Americans can't applaud them and enjoy it because of the things that they say and what they represent. I mean, I just find it an absolute shame.
So I have a question. Why aren't these same people that are demanding equal work should be equal pay?
Well, what about the NBA? How about the women's NBA, whatever that is? The women's
right. The NBA finances the WNBA because the WNBA loses money.
Right.
But here's my point. Why?
Hey, listen, you know I'm a big boxing fan, right?
Right.
All I have to see is women fighting on the undercard, and I'm out.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, it's not. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Looks like a cat fight.
I mean, with the exception of Ali's daughter.
Yeah. Rousey is a pretty good fighter, too.
Well, yeah, she got knocked out.
Ronda Rousey. But she looked like a man when she fought, though. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, why aren't they petitioning that Alec Baldwin work for the same pay?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. As a union scale actor who's doing the same work.
Have you seen that? Speaking of Alec Baldwin, have you seen him do the new Match Game?
I haven't seen it. I can't sit through that.
Okay. Well, he does it angrily.
Well, I could see that.
It's like, I watched it and I thought, you know, there's a Peter principle involved. How did he get this job? Who decided that Alec Baldwin was a charming guy that you really want to watch on television doing a game show?
He's angry.
I have a little history with this, so I can say
absolutely. I think he's angry because he thinks this is beneath his dignity.
Well, I think he thinks everything's beneath his dignity as far as that's concerned. It couldn't be. I mean, these guys are wealthy.
I am a fine actor.
Well, they're
not a game show host.
Sorry.
It takes no talent to be a game show host, Chuck.
Of course not. it's just interesting to watch this whole transition in my industry as well take place and what's happening.
You should send him a tweet that says, you know, I've never claimed to be an actor, but you are no game show host.
I'm not going to get in it with Alec Baldwin or anybody else.
I'll do it on your behalf.
No, thanks. So, that's all I need.
But seriously, why aren't all these actors who are out on this rampage of equal pay for equal work for the soccer team,
you know,
why aren't they all demanding that every actor, whether they are, you know, the bit parter or the star, get the same money?
Because they're phony. Oh, they're phony, and they're just patronizing, and that's all there is to it. Everyone knows that that's never going to happen. I mean, it's like these Democrat promises all these people are making. They're making promises that will never happen. They know that it'll never happen. They're pandering to a few people. They're either pandering to black people. By the way, you notice they never pander to Asians.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever. They never pander to Asians. They pander to illegals. They pander to black people. They pander to everybody, promise them things that'll never happen. And they continue to vote for them, whether they do or not, because they made the promise.
So the Asians too smart for this, or just not big enough of a group?
I don't know. I mean, you know, if you can convince people they're on your side when they never do anything to, you know, to help you, help your side, and you continue to vote for them, then why not? I guess that's, you know, easy money.
By the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger is all upset.
Well, what's Arnold upset about now?
Because the president was talking about The Apprentice, and he referred to Arnold Schwarzenegger as being dead.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger tried to do the – this is another one. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is who he is. I know him, you know, a little bit. Mm-hmm. We ran across each other in Hollywood a lot, socially mostly. But, I mean, here you have someone who's completely out of their element, and they think they're brilliant, and they're not. And they can't stand it. It's the Peter principle all over again. You're good at some things, you're not so good at others. You can't be good at everything.
Of course not. Years ago, I told you, years and years ago, before Arnold was famous, I used to work out with him. Mm-hmm. And he had a very good sense of humor.
Oh, he's very funny. I mean, I sat between he and Stallone one time watching a movie at someone's house. And it was, you know, they're very funny, both of them. Both of them are really funny.
But he's upset because the president said he was dead. And he's tweeting out, I'm not dead. I'm very much alive. Do you want to compare tax returns?
You know, this is another confusing Republican, too. This is a guy who said he's a Republican. He's a European. He's not a Republican at all. He just ran on the Republican ticket.
But the president responded with, I didn't say you were dead, just your career. Yeah.
All our careers die at a certain time. Mine's deader than a doornail. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, as far as game shows and things like
that. Well, game shows. So Alex Acosta has agreed to step down.
Well, you know, look, it's no great loss because he's in a position where he's just another, you know, notch on the gun stock for the Democrats of being able to put somebody out. Nobody knows anything about this thing yet, really. And I, quite frankly, I thought he gave a very lawyerly talk about, you know, how this happened. Nobody understood. He's incapable, and as most lawyers are when they speak their language, incapable of communicating with the average person. And so it just left a lot of questions as to, well, why did you do this? I mean, because the deal was a bad deal. There's no question as far as what Epstein did and what the New York is trying to charge him with today. So, but nobody knows the inner workings of how it happened. Nobody knows who his boss was. Nobody knows who was really in charge of this. I'm not trying to defend him. I don't even know this guy. I mean, I quite frankly hadn't heard of him. He's head of the Department of Labor. I didn't know much about him. It's a position pretty far down on the rung, I think, that, you know, most Americans have no clue who this guy is until the press brought it out that he was the bad guy and let Epstein off, which I don't think he did, but I don't know what he did. I mean, I know that when Epstein went to jail, he was able to get out every night and go home and come back to jail during the day. He had a pretty cushy year and a half or whatever it was.
Yeah, 13 months.
13 months. And I don't know, maybe he did that. Maybe the county jail did. I don't know who did that. Nobody knows anything about this thing so far. And again, it's a headline for the Democrats. And that, you know, who's the bad guy? Well, Acosta must be the bad guy.
Well, let me tell you what I've been able to figure out so far. Mm-hmm. What I've been able to figure out so far is, first off, Epstein's charges were back on this issue with minors.
Right.
There's actually not federal laws on the books against that. Those are state crimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the state was the one who was prosecuting him.
The state decided to let him off.
Right, right. They felt like they didn't have enough evidence. Apparently, I don't know why, but these things are very hard to prove. But I have no idea. Well, I'm not a lawyer. I have never been in court.
Well, you have to have witnesses.
So, well, all you need is one, isn't it? I mean, don't you just need one?
Well, one would prove one charge, but at any rate, the state was going to let him off.
That I understood.
Acosta was the federal attorney general in Florida. Mm-hmm. So he brought the charges that he could bring against him under federal law. Mm-hmm. Now, Acosta to himself even thought that even he was going to lose that case. Now, here's the reason he was worried about losing that case is because then FBI Director Robert Mueller was writing letters of recommendation to the judge for leniency or to let him off because he was an FBI informant.
I've never heard that. But where did you get that? I've never heard that before.
We have got that information. I will give you the source.
Where did it come from?
I will have to pull the sources for you.
Okay.
But it seems to be
challenge legit. You on the air.
No, it's okay. No, but it seems to be legit sources. Mm-hmm. And the dates line up. Mueller was the head of the FBI at that time. And the reports are that Epstein was acting as an informant to the FBI. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see that Epstein's life is going to get peeled like one of these blooming onions at Outback.
Yeah, it's kind of like this whole thing with Trump as it starts to unwind layer after layer after layer after layer. You're going to find a lot of politicians. Now here's Mueller, which I'd never heard before, is involved. It's going to be interesting to watch this unfold.
Now, a judge this week threw out the emolument clause case against the president.
Big win. Big win. Absolutely.
And you know what?
And by the way, did you hear about any of this on CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times or WAPO?
No. So here's the thing. And you get the same tweets that I get. It's the president's going down because Mueller's going to arrest him. Mm-hmm. The president's going down because of the emolument clause. The president, I mean, how many times do people say, keep laughing it up, you washed up game show host, your Russian spy president's going to prison any minute. Mm-hmm. And I've had all kinds of them, you know, because I'm the sidekick of the washed up game show host. Yeah, for sure. And will hit me that he's going down for the emolument clause. Okay, well, that one's dead. Now, so people started hitting me with a new one yesterday.
And what's the new shiny object?
The new one is, well, laugh it up, sidekick of the washed up game show host. Because even if he gets reelected and sits for six more years, New York State is still going to put him in prison once he's out of the presidency.
They just won't give up, will they?
They can't.
Chuck, these, by the way, my big problem is these feckless Republicans, obviously not all of them, but a lot of them in Congress, just don't do anything. They don't fight back. They just don't fight.
You know what this is, though? This is literally, we kid, many of us kid about Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
You know, including, you know, Sean and Rush and everybody. Yeah,
there's no
question. It's not a joke.
No, it's not. It's not. It hurts.
This is mental illness. And these people are clinging on to any hope they can find.
Hey, listen, I contend
the president's a criminal.
I contend that Paul Ryan, you've seen this piece that Paul Ryan wrote about the president, how he just doesn't have any respect for him because he didn't know how to be a politician and all this kind of stuff.
That's why we elected him.
Paul Ryan probably spent all of his time trying to persuade Trump how to bend over like all Republicans do to the Democrat Party, and Trump would have nothing to do with it and couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Ryan was too busy posing for pictures of himself with his shirt off. It was like he was our version of Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. So now, by the way.
So now let me ask you something. Here's Omar in Minnesota in a packed congressional district, packed with Somalis and other Muslims, that I don't know. I can't imagine anybody who's a Muslim would want to go live in Minnesota, but you know they're there for some reason, one way or the other.
Yeah, how do you say that? Because the people there always call it Minnesota.
Minnesota.
So yeah. I'm not sure how that works out with that Somali accent.
You know, it's inclement as far as their, you know, their background, where they come from, anything else. It's cold. I've been there. It's
exactly.
Really cold.
Yeah, it's very cold.
Yeah, and so here you got all these Somalis and other ethnic groups from the Middle East who lived there who elected her. Then you have a city council who comes up and says, we're not going to do the pledge allegiance of a flag anymore because it is contrary to the diversity of our community.
It's not inclusive, Chuck.
It's just not inclusive, the Pledge of Allegiance. That, you know, and liberty and justice for all just doesn't work here. Thinking, how do you get these people out when now you've got a congressional district that's loaded with their own people and they can elect who they want? So they go to Congress. They're not marginalized. They're instead pandered to. It's just... Where are we going to go? I mean, where are we? We got a whole lot of people in this country that we've let in who hate this country. And we have a Democrat Party who feeds that and a mainstream media who also feed it. And where can you possibly go? Is there an upside to this anywhere?
You know, one thing I do want people to understand, there is no upside to it, but what I do want people to understand is, yes, you have people like Omar who get into this country and then hate it.
Hey, listen, we opened our arms. These people were in a refugee camp. We're in Syria or someplace like that. Somalia. Well, I think they went to a refugee camp someplace else after they left Somalia. She was 9 when she and her parents were allowed into our country. Then she got all of the benefits. Her parents got all the benefits. Where did she learn to hate us? Is it just the Muslim Islamist thing? Or
no, I'm going to give you an example. I went to an event last night.
Because I know of people, I know a lot. I know a few Muslims who aren't anything like her.
I went to an event last night at the home of a gentleman. His name is Sam Kassab. Mm-hmm. And Sam is he was an Iraqi refugee who escaped Iraq.
Right.
He came to this country. He's been very successful. He's become very wealthy. Mm-hmm. He had a beautiful home, and he threw an event last night to raise money for Wounded Warriors.
Okay.
There was 300 or 400 people in Sam's house last night. Mm-hmm. And in his house, this man so loves America that when he starts talking about what America's done for him and his family, tears start coming in his eyes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
He has the seal of the United States cast in the wall of his house as a relief. Mm-hmm. And they did a flag lowering. They had military from every branch there. It was amazing. And not everyone who comes to this country from the Middle East hates America. I want people to know that. It's not everybody.
Exactly. That's right. That's exactly right.
There are great people that have come from there because here's the difference. They're philosophically American, not geographically American. You can be an American and live anywhere in the world because being an American is a mindset. It's not something that you're born into. It's something that you choose to be. And many people who were born geographic Americans in this country don't choose to be American. They choose to be European.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Democrat Party and their history, they've always just praised Europe, praised France, praised Britain. They want us to be like them. They want America to be like them. They want us to be socialist. And that's what this big push against capitalism is all about, with socialism. They really believe that Americans are ready for this.
These people do not choose to be American. And that's why I said earlier, don't believe somebody who says, I'm a patriot, I love America, but we're a bad country and we're a racist country and we need to do reparations and we need to do this. No, you do not love this country if you want to tear it down.
I'm going to tell you something. I believe this whole thing about you being a racist and I'm a racist and everybody else is a racist is the tool that they're using to divide this country to literally make people racist. They get so sick of it that they don't want to hear it anymore. And I really think that's the tool that they're using is trying to, well, they've obviously divided us. They divided half of us. Now they're trying to divide the other half. And this whole attack on white people and the founding fathers, because they were white and white privilege and all this crap. It's amazing.
Now, by the way, Chuck, the just hitting the wire right now is that the Mueller testimony may be off now.
Well, you know, I Barr is an interesting guy. I thought that he's been very supportive of Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it, other than maybe they're friends. I don't know.
Mueller was slated to testify before the Judiciary Committee for 2 hours. With 2 hours plus of testimony before the House Intelligence, an open setting. So now some of the lawmakers are complaining that's not long enough. So that's why they're...
Well, you know what they did. Here's what the Democrats did. They set a time and said it wasn't long enough so they could cut out a bunch of people for asking questions.
They're trying to box the Republicans
in. They're trying to box the Republicans in. Exactly. Well, people on their side, too, couldn't ask questions. So it needed to be longer because we know how interesting those things are.
But the reality is, whatever question the Democrats ask, Mueller's going to have to read out of that report.
Exactly. They know that.
But the Republicans can ask questions like, when did you first know that the president wasn't part of a conspiracy? Mm-hmm. How early did you know that? Why didn't you investigate Hillary Clinton? Why did you erase those emails between Page and Strzok? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got some, the Republicans have some serious questions to ask.
They do.
I don't see how, I do not see how the Democrats can turn a Mueller appearance to their benefit.
I'll tell you how they do it. It's not the answer, it's the question.
So they won't ask him a question, they will just get up and talk.
Exactly right. It will be a diatribe of questions that are damning to Trump and everybody, you know, anybody that's a Republican. And then the answer will be, I'm sorry, you got to read my report. I refer you to page 32, you know, section 4, paragraph 7.
Or it'll be one of these things. Well, Mr. Mueller, wouldn't you agree that President Trump actually slept with Vladimir Putin three times during a report? I withdraw that question.
Yeah, it's a question. It's not, that's how they do it.
And
here's the deal. The American people really don't watch these things, not by and large. They may have a viewership of a million or 2 million or whatever, but we have 360 million people. So they don't watch it by large. What they do is they wait for the press to come out with their digest of it, and then the press, you know, mutilates everything, and then that's where they get their information.
Well, sure. The press has been going wild right now saying that Tucker Carlson...
Because of Omar.
Has made all these racist attacks right. against Ilhan Omar.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch it, he did nothing racist against
her. No, I did watch him. I watch him every night. And the interesting thing about it is he did all these racist comments against an anti-Semite and a racist. I mean, come on.
But he didn't say anything that was racist.
No, I know.
He was holding her accountable for her actions.
It goes back to that lady, Lucy, what's her name, from Missouri, who claimed that AOC calling Nancy Pelosi had no argument because she had to call her a racist. So it's just crazy what's going on.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of information here. I'm going to tip this off to you, and I'm not going to go into the whole story because it would be too long.
Okay.
But there's more evidence turning up between George Soros, Russiagate, and the Clintons.
What a surprise that would be.
First off, we're now finding that there are huge connections between the Open Society Foundation and the Clinton Foundation.
Okay, Open Society is George Soros, No Borders, all kinds of crap.
Yes, just to remind people, if you didn't hear us talk about this a few weeks ago, the Open Society is George Soros' philosophy, and he's now turned it into an organization. Mm-hmm. What this organization believes is that there are this is not me making this up. There is a limited few number of enlightened individuals who are smart enough and wise enough to make decisions for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of you are morons.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you morons step aside. It always has to do, Mark, with the individual losing his freedom. I know this sounds, I know people say this and they say, oh, what are you talking about? Our freedoms. It's always taking away the freedom and the respect that the Constitution has for the individual, not the government. And these people are all government people. They're not individual. They think you don't know anything, and you don't matter. They're going to make the decisions for you, not you.
Well, this is what's interesting. Through the Clinton Foundation and the Open Society, mm-hmm. they have been backing people who are opponents of Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, Nigel Farage, mm-hmm. Viktor Orban, and so this is interesting. Here's the fear. The fear is if Donald Trump actually builds a relationship with Vladimir Putin, as he has with Netanyahu, mm-hmm. as with Nigel Farage, it will cut out the Open Society from what they're trying to do. They don't want, this is what's so interesting. The reason they're trying to say Trump and Putin are this thing that they're not is because they're actually afraid that Trump and Putin will make an alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Open Society Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, they not only want the destruction of the U.S., they want the destruction of Europe, of England, of Britain in particular. They want the destruction of Israel, and they want to actually destroy the government in Russia. Mm-hmm. So the whole this whole Russia-Trump thing is to try to create strife between the U.S. and Russia, which is a very different twist on this, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It is. Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going on.
Well, we've had an awful lot of information today, folks. I mean, it's just, I hope you listen. I hope you learned something. If you have any comments, please look us up on Stitcher and iTunes and Westwood One podcast.
Podcast One, not Westwood One. Sorry. No. We're not on Westwood One. We're on podcast. You say Westwood One because your buddy that owns Podcast One used to own Westwood One.
Yeah, I know.
They're the competition now.
Okay. So anything to add to that, Mark, before we sign off?
Make sure you leave us a 5-star review, folks. And I want to ask people too, and that is, we'd be so grateful if you'd leave us a 5-star review. And if you would just take a link to this site, to this show, wherever you get it, and send it to one other person and ask them to listen.
We'd really appreciate that. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with Mark Young, and we'll see you next time.